wonderful, sweet morning already, hasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen and amen. It's brought to my attention that we have a beautiful card here on the pulpit this morning. It's a thank you card from Debbie and her family. It's a brief card. Let me read it to you, if I may. You are a beautiful reminder. Thank you for the flowers you sent in the loss of my brother, John. They're beautiful every time they bloom. Remind me of your love for me, all of my love to my church family, Debbie. So continue to pray for those who've lost loved ones and those that are hurting and those that are struggling. And thank you for being a compassionate church family. I want to share with you this morning a message that I began two Sundays ago. And then the very next Sunday we had the Lord's Supper, which was last week. And so we're going to kind of go back and retrace some steps. And I'm reminded of those times that I have enjoyed and still enjoy watching the reruns on TV. Danny and I enjoy doing that. Enjoy watching Gunsmoke reruns. Now, folks, if you don't like a Gunsmoke rerun, you need revival. Oh, but seriously, they are fun to watch. But have you ever noticed when you see a rerun, they always begin by showing a clip from the last week or last night's show, and then it brings you up to speed. Well, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is the bulletin that you have, the outline in your worship guide this morning, will be good next week. So I believe in preparing ahead of time, and so you hang on to that. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, you'll have the outline from this morning. But if you need any of those, you can call the church office, and Stacy would be glad to get you that. But I want to continue the message series. Several years ago that we began a couple of weeks ago, I had felt a leadership of the Lord to go in a direction for a few brief weeks, and I came to the point of putting together 17 points under the theme Biblical Life Principles for Abundant Living. We're going to be looking at John 10 together in just a moment. John 10:10, when Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." And the Lord just laid on my heart the need to help us understand the biblical principles for what it means to live abundantly in Christ. We know what it means to know the Lord and serve the Lord and to go to heaven, tell people about the Lord. But the Lord wants us to live abundantly, victoriously, overcoming lives in this world as a testimony to the grace of God and the power of God to deliver us from the things in this world. And so this morning I'm going to review, if I may, what we started 2 weeks ago. And then we'll kind of catch up next Sunday on where we are in our series of about 17 points under the idea that the biblical life principles for abundant living. If I could tell you how to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, wouldn't you be interested? I've shared with our people before, we have several grandchildren. And I'm a great believer that little sign in Cracker Barrel is right. Grandchildren are our rewards for not killing our children. What a blessing that grandchildren are. Well, our little 8-year-old, this has been about 2 years ago now, came to the house one day and he had been crying. And he told his daddy, he said, "Daddy," he had been to chapel at Tipton Rosemark Academy. He'd heard people talk about what it means to be saved. And he'd given his heart and life to Jesus. And at 8 years old, he's crying. And he told his daddy, he said, I just love Jesus and I want to live for him. And he was wearing a shirt. And I love the shirt he wore because the shirt said on the front, "Ain't nobody going to steal my joy." Now, folks, that'll preach.
Yeah.
If I could tell you about a way to walk in joy unspeakable and full of glory, how to walk victoriously, I believe we'd all be interested. If we could walk and be an overcomer in this world, we would all be interested. And so the series for the next few weeks will be how to know and apply the biblical life principles for abundant living founded on John 10:10, the words of Jesus. "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I want to share with you these six primary thoughts, and some of them will be review of what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Some of them will be new to us. But I want us to focus on these for a moment and let the Lord speak to our hearts about what it means to live abundantly for the Lord. The very first principle I want us to look at again this morning for a second time is this principle. Abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. Abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. John 15:4, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." I made this statement 2 weeks ago. If you're here, you might remember this. I do not recall ever hearing a sermon on what it means to abide in Christ. And I've heard lots of sermons, hundreds and thousands of sermons through the years, but I never recall hearing one on how to abide in Christ. And it's to this Jesus spoke, and he said, unless we abide in Christ, we can't bring forth much fruit, because Jesus is the vine and we're the branches, and we bring forth fruit as we abide in Him. That word abide means to stay under, to stand by, to be fixed and unmovable, to abide in Christ. And really what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about abiding in Christ, talking about staying by Jesus, walking with the Lord, spending time with the Lord, being saturated with the things of God, focusing on the things of God. And so Jesus is reminding us the best way, the only way to have fruit that is the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit, as He produces love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness, all are considered the fruit of the Spirit. That comes as we abide in Christ. By the way, abiding in Christ is more than coming to church on Sunday. Thank God for the privilege of coming to church on Sunday. I say amen to what's already been said. This is a sweet church, and I opened the bulletin this morning, and I saw that little precious little clip of art clip there, clipping about the tacos coming in a couple of hours. Let me encourage you, anytime the church announces a taco lunch, you make yourself, you come on, make your plans. We're going to have a good time. If there's anything this church does well, it's how we do our groceries well. Amen. Yes. We do. Amen. And amen. Well, I've been so blessed. People talk to me and say, "Brother Jackie, are you still pastoring?" And I don't know why they would put it quite that way, but it seems like that it's obvious by this gray hair that I didn't get started yesterday. But I want to tell you, the Lord blessed me in 1970. The very first Sunday I preached my very first sermon in my very first church, the Calvary Baptist Church on Milana Road in Fayetteville, Tennessee. So I began my ministry at a Calvary Baptist Church. Had 14 in Sunday school there that first Sunday. And Libby and I and our new baby were among the first three that were there. But the truth is, God's given me a great place to serve the Lord in my in my senior years, and I'm so glad, and Libby and I are so grateful for a church like this. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord just did something so special that only He got the honor and glory for it? Yes. Lord, and my prayer is that Lord will bring forth fruit to His honor and glory. And then we'll bring forth fruit because we learn how to abide in Christ, walk with Him, talk with Him, journey with Him along life's way. Abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. Except you abide in me, you cannot bring forth fruit except that it abide in the vine. Neither can you except you abide in me. Principle number two, talking about biblical life principles for abundant living. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Now let's think about that for just a moment. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The example in 1 Samuel chapter 15 is of Samuel reminding the people And they asked the question, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? As great a delight as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than serve, sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. So we've heard two principles here. One, we cannot bring forth fruit apart from abiding in Christ, which is more than coming to church on Sundays. It is a daily walk. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day I love Him, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. He's the one I'm longing for. Every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. That's what it means to abide in Christ. Not check out when you leave the church on Sunday and check back in next Sunday, but to walk with Him in a daily relationship. Amen. Abiding in Christ is our highest priority. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We've got to be careful. The old devil is a liar and the father of lies. And he'll do everything he can to steal our joy and steal our victory and steal our peace. He'll do everything he can to rob you of your abundant life in Christ. And one of the ways that you're sure to be sure that you can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the flesh, the lust of the flesh, is to be obedient in every area that God speaks to your heart. There are lots of commands in the Word of God, things that we're to do, things that we're not to do, things that we may never be involved with, but things sometimes we have to be careful. In fact, the devil's clever. He can make you think everything's all right. You might, for example, you can make a list of the things you don't do. You may want to say, well, I don't cuss, drink, smoke, or chew, nor run around with folks who do. I used to could say that. But no, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I can say that. I haven't always been able to say that. I know some of you probably will not believe this is true, but it's true. It's really true. I was guilty in my preteen years of stealing a watermelon. Now, don't look so spiritual. We're going to take a little survey here. I want you to be as honest as you know how, will you? How many of you would say, Brother Jackie, I too had one of those moments, and I have stolen a watermelon? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Hey, God bless you. David, you stole one too, huh?
I had to be the best one.
Well, you can say that little thing, I don't cuss, smoke, drink, or chew, nor run around with folks who do, and still realize that doesn't mean that everything is as right with the Lord as it ought to be. Walk with the Lord. Talk with the Lord, serve the Lord, be obedient, and understand that God wants you to walk in obedient faith to Him. Whatever else you may not do, be sure that you do what God's told us to do in the Word of God. We're talking about abundant living, about principles for abundant living. Abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. Number two, obedience is better than sacrifice. And by the way, the Word of God is full of things that God encourages us to do, admonishes us to do, and commands that we do. For example, Mark's testimony this morning was a special thing. He shared with me early before church about having the privilege of leading the repair man to the Lord. When the Lord told us to go into all the world and share the gospel with every creature, that was a command. We are witnesses, and we are to be effective and faithful witnesses for Christ wherever God leads us. It's a part of the commandment of the Lord. We need to be faithful in our giving. We need to be faithful in our living. We need to be faithful in our worship. And obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Biblical principle number three for abundant living. This is one of my favorites. God's Word is essential to our Christian growth. I remember being a student at the University of North Alabama in Florence, Alabama. I've been so blessed to go to schools, colleges, seminary, a doctoral program, all those places where people love Jesus and serve the Lord. And there's a place at the University of North Alabama called the Planetarium. You know what a planetarium is? You go in there and the seats are reclining seats. And you lean back and you look, the lights are turned out and it's black as it can be, and the ceiling, the circular ceiling, the rounded ceiling is black. And the professor can, by the means of the computer, put any of the constellations, any of the celestial bodies that we're familiar with there, and you can see where they relate to each other in the scheme of the universe. And every day in our class that we met, our teacher of the secular university would say, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork." And I thought, Lord, thank you. You let me sit under the tutelage and the ministry of a godly professor in a secular university and who loved Jesus and led his students to love Jesus. And folks, that's what God wants of all of us. And God will use us where we are doing what God's given us the gift to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God's word is essential to our Christian growth. In Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I was privileged to go to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth. I still love that school. It was a great experience, and the Lord really shaped our lives in a wonderful way during those days, during those 3.5 years there at Southwestern Seminary. But I had an opportunity to sit under the tutelage of people like Dr. Roy Fish. And that man's name may not ring a bell to you, but according to Southern Baptist preachers, Dr. Roy Fish is a name that's synonymous with scholarship, with godliness, with soul winning. And I had the privilege of sitting under his ministry in about 3 or 4 different classes. And what I'm trying to say is I had the privilege of being surrounded by godly men and women teaching the wonderful Word of God as the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. What does that do? How does that apply to abundant living? God's word is essential to our Christian growth. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Don't wait till you get to Sunday school on Sunday to open your study guide notes. Don't wait till you get here before you get serious about reading through a book of the Bible. I've talked to somebody just the other day who was in their daily devotional life, and they were on that through the Bible course, and you find a system that'll work for you. But the truth is, if you want to live abundantly, you've got to hide God's word in your heart. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Somebody once said, "This word will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book." And so walk in faith, keep your eyes on the Lord. Abiding in Christ is our highest priority. Spiritual principle number one. Spiritual principle number two, obedience is better than sacrifice. Spiritual principle number three, God's word is essential to our Christian growth. Hide our words in our hearts that we might not sin against God. Spiritual principle, life, abundant living principle number four. Abundant living and contentment are found in learning to, quote, bloom where you're planted. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, obviously, you know what Paul's not saying. He's not saying whatever geographical area I live in. He's not saying that. He's saying whatever I speak, I don't speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in. Paul wrote this letter from prison. He wrote to encourage the saints of God to keep on keeping on. That's abundant life. You can be thrown in prison for something you didn't justifiably do, and yet you keep your eyes on Jesus and keep serving the Lord, and you avoid murmuring and complaining. You just give God the glory and trust God to get you through it. Well, abundant living is found in learning to bloom where you're planted. I love what Junior Hill used to say. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, been in heaven now for a couple of years. Dr. Hill used to say, "Any man that's too little, too big to serve a little church is too little to serve a big church." And I thought, how profound that is. And I think about one day, the Lord, every young preacher wants to pastor a big church. At least they think they do. And the Lord's given me the privilege of pastoring some big churches. In fact, the biggest attendance day I remember is a church where I served, where there was a Sunday school goal. We ran around 500 in Sunday school. when we first started there, we had a revival and asked the Lord to bless and God to speak to hearts. And we had a high attendance day, and there was 1,200 in Sunday school and 1,500 there for worship on that day. I want to tell you, folks, this young preacher thought he had died and gone to heaven. But see, real blessing is not in the numbers of your growth. It's in being faithful to the Lord and serving the Lord. And the blessings of God are not in whether you serve a big church or a little church. I have served in all kinds of churches. And I have found out that in all churches, there's going to be somebody, somewhere, who ain't going to be happy, and you can't make them happy. Can I have an amen from somebody? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know it's not you if you could say amen. But the truth is, my joy, I'm as happy today serving Calvary Baptist Church as I am serving anywhere I've ever served.
Amen.
Because God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And folks, I want to tell you, my kid said to me the other day, Daddy, why do you keep on doing what you're doing? And I thought, because I'm in love with Jesus and I can't help it. And I love preaching the glorious gospel. I love God's people. And the truth is, every day was sweeter. Now, who was the evangelist that came to our church a long time ago who was tongue-tied? David?
Wayne.
Ring. David Ring. And he would say he was in love with Jesus. And he was a Monmouth boy. But he couldn't speak well. He had had a disease of some kind growing up. But he was full of joy and full of life and full of abundant life. Why? His joy wasn't in serving a church or the size of a church. It was in the size of the Jesus that was in his heart.
Amen.
Abundant living and contentment are not found in learning, or are found in learning to bloom where we're planted. Be faithful wherever. Let's make this personally applicable. Wherever God has planted you in your life's role, as in the career field and corporate world, education world, and the church world, be faithful. Do what you do, ask unto the Lord, and fulfill your calling, whatever that may be. Because you can be just as happy serving in an unknown place out in the country, as long as you do it for Jesus, as anybody else can doing what they're doing. So, biblical life principles for abundant living. Abundant living is found in learning to bloom where you're planted. And I'll pick up there tonight. Can I do that? And because some of you, I can see it in your face. Some of you are thinking, he's coming to the end sometime soon. That doesn't mean I'm fixing to check out. It just means you're coming to the end of my outline. You know, I hope that whenever the day comes, when somebody says whatever closing remarks there are over me, and if I'm here, I pray that somebody will be able to say, he finished his race well. His joy was in Jesus. And he kept on keeping on for Christ.
Amen.
Folks, I can't imagine being happier than I am in Jesus. And if you need a reason for facing tomorrow, I give you Jesus. If you need somebody who can give you a new beginning, I give you Jesus. If you have somebody who will love you just like you are and change you from what you are, I give you Jesus. You see, God wants you to have abundant life, full of glory and full of blessing and full of God's richest blessings. I've come that I might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what being saved is all about. You can know that kind of Jesus if you don't already know him. Let's bow together, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for simple gospel truth. Thank you, Lord, for great principles of the Word of God that, Lord, surpass our problems and difficulties. Lord, I know that in this building are folks that have gone through storms and are still going through storms. And you've brought them through every one. And you've been a good God. You are a good God. And I pray this morning, if there's a believer here who's lost their joy, lost their victory, lost their peace. And the old devil has accused them so much that they're weary and they're tired. Give them back their joy as they just renew their walk with Christ. Do a fresh work in their hearts. And if there's anybody here who's never been saved, never given their heart and life to Jesus, like that service man Mark told us about this morning, I pray they'll come today and say yes to Christ. Turning from sin, that's called repentance. Turning to Christ, which is called faith. Lord, have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our lives. Help us be people who experience what it means to have joy abundantly and abundantly in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.